the old shoe room to make sure there's no one in there. Oh, here comes Noam. Okay, hi Noam. We're in a new shoe room. Please check on your text to see what the new shoe room number is. Can you hear me, Noam? Noam, can you hear me? You can. Okay, so check your texts and your emails. We're in a new shiur room. I'll explain when you get there. Okay? What? Can you hear me better now? Yeah, we're in a new shiur room. Yes, so. Yeah, no, it's okay. That's why I came to the old shiur room, to get everyone over here. Okay, terrific. Wow, so how do you guys like the new shiur room? I should get this picture back up here.
Is there able to record it now?
Yeah, we have now left the high school classroom, the shiur room, and we're now in a college shiur room. The explanation is very simple. MTA stopped paying Zoom. So it's still possible to get into the shiur room, but it would end after 40 minutes. So they sent me an email on Friday. They originally told us that they were not going to end that. They said they were going to end record and all sorts of other things, but they said the shiur would still be able to go for more than 40 minutes. So I said, okay, we'll keep this room. Then Evan sent me an email that even though Zoom did not announce it, the rumor is that it's going to stop. So, therefore, he said, you better get onto the YU email. So I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, got on with the IT guys at YU. They're on 24/7. I don't exactly understand why it's 24/7, but I didn't ask any kashas. I just got on early this morning, and by 10 to 8, we had our new shiur room. Yay! It's interesting, it has this closed caption thing. Does that mean you can see the words? Or maybe I can see the words as you're saying words when I can't hear you. I don't know, should I try this now? I'm not going to try it now. I'll experiment on my own time. But I'm wondering what else there is that it is. It seems to have record. The chat still seems to work. I think share should work. Okay, I'll have to see if there's really anything new. My picture is gone. I realize when I do this, I don't have a picture anymore. Now it's just good old me. Okay, is there anyone else in this old classroom? No. Okay, looks good. How do we end this session? End meeting. Okay, it was a nice classroom while it lasted. Okay, 637-508-3036. Does it say that anywhere on the screen here?
Yeah, just basically all the way on the top left corner of the screen is a circle with an I inside of it.
Aha. Okay.
So if every copy on that, then the button that says copy your.
I see it. Good. Okay. Good. Okay. Shkayach. Okay. I see we're still missing a few people. It's hard to get everyone on board Sunday, and that was part of the reason why we decided to do a different limud for Sunday. Pen Hasoda Machine. Oh. Soda machine, all the show. Okay. So let's continue. Say for Yona. I have chocolate milk today. We're almost begin, say for Yona. We barely began. We're really in the Hakdama still. But hopefully today we'll begin. Okay, let me see what I need to get on the screen. The last thing we did was the Rambam in Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah, Oh, is somebody recording? Yeah, okay, great. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesod and HaTorah. Put everything up here. Which told us the requisites of being a Navi. A lot of requirements. You literally have to be a big Talmud Chacham, a person who doesn't waste time, lo hevel hazman, a person who is completely misgaber da'ido yitzro tamid. Such an individual, it's possible for him to be vayepoch liish acher, to be transformed to a different type of person, and to receive nevuah. Yonah became a navi, and clearly, therefore, was such a person. The Medrash tells us he was shokul k'Eliyahu, equal to the level of nevuah of Eliyahu. Elisha mishacho, it was Elisha who actually anointed him. When he reached the rank of a Navi. The Medrash tells us also, Hayat Tzadik Gomer, Yonah was a complete Tzadik, which is apparently necessary in order to be a Navi. There are further exploits of Yonah himself that are mentioned in Navi. We have in Malachim Beis, Perek Tes, Sukkim Aleph through Yud. Ve'Elisha Hanavi kara la'achad b'nei ha'Nevi'im. Elisha called one of the young Nevi'im, and Rashi tells us that was Yonah. Ve'yomer lo, chagor masnecho, gird your loins. Kach pach Hashem, and take with you a jug of oil hazeh, this one v'yadech in your hand, v'lech l'mos ha'gilad, and go to l'mos gilad, u'vasa sham u'reisham yehu v'nei o'shofa, ben nimshi. See this individual, Yehu, Uvasa, Bakimosum, take him from amongst his brothers, Vevesa also, Cheder Bechoder, take him into a private room. Vlakachta Pach Hashemen, Vyatzachta Rosho. Take the Pach Hashemen and pour it on his head. He's going to love that. Vyamarta, say to him, Kamar Hashem, Shachticha Lamelacha Yisrael, you are appointed king over Israel. Not Yehuda, Shifte Yisrael, the 10 tribes. Vasachta Delas, open the door, v'nastov lo sechake. Run! Run. V'yelech hanar hanavi, this young nar, again it was Yonah, Ramos ha'gil, v'yom v'nei sari ha'chal yoshim, all the generals were sitting, v'yomer dover li eilecha, sorry, I need to speak, there's a word that I have to have with the chief. V'yomer yeyu, el mi mikulonu, who are you talking about? He was an onov. V'yomer eilecha asar, you, one in charge. V'yokom, he got up. V'yovo habayso, he went into the house. Apparently this pseudo is outside with all the generals. V'yitok Hashem en al rosho, he poured the oil on his head. V'yomer lo komer Hashem l'kei Yisrael v'shachtich l'melech al am Hashem el Yisrael. And here's your job as melech. V'yikiso es besacha adonecho. Achav, who presently was the king, your master, you, the general, are supposed to lead a civil war, a rebellion, and smite him. And he comes into me, Avod HaNeviim, and through that, through you, Hashem says, I will revenge my servants, the Neviim, who may call Avdi Hashem Yadi Zovel, and all those who served Hashem from Yizevel. Achav and Yizevel were husband and wife. They destroyed, killed all the Neviim except for about 100 that were hidden in Elio. And now Hashem takes his revenge. V'avad kol Beis Achav, he'll destroy the entire Beis Achav. V'chirati la'achav mashtin bakir. And I will cut him off like, what should I say, urinating on a wall. V'otzer v'ozov b'Yisrael, be completely lost from Israel. V'asati es Beis Achav v'Beis Yerovim ben Avot. The house of Achav will be like Yerovim's house. V'Beis Basha ben Achiyah, totally destroyed. It goes on to say, Yizevel's not even going to be buried. She's going to be eaten by dogs. And Yehu came out of this meeting a little bit puzzled, I guess. And they said to him, who was that Meshuga? Madua boha Meshuga hazeh lecha. I guess the Nevi'im looked a little like Jedi Knights. I don't know. So he said, oh, you know what he told me. And they said, it's a sheker. We have no idea what he told you. So he told them that he was appointed king. His job is to destroy all of Beis Achad. Wow. This was done by Yonah. This was Yonah's first mission. I don't know. Sorry, Ali. The Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin tells us, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Ches, Yonah ben Amittai Novi Emes Hoya. Yonah ben Amittai was a true Novi because he told Yehu to destroy the house of Achav, and it worked. He did it. As it says in Malachim Beis, a little bit later, Hashem rewarded Yehu for doing good in his eyes, which I had in my heart that I wanted you to do to Beis Achav, B'nei Revi'im, in reward for you destroying Beis Achav, B'nei Revi'im, four generations, Yeshvulcha Kisei Yisrael, from your family will sit on the throne of Israel. So Yehu was charged to wipe out the Beis Achav. He did it. He destroyed all of Baal and that idol. He was rewarded with four generations of kings to come from him. And Yonah then told him more nevuah in Malachim Beis, Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed. That's what I just read with Rashi. That this was all Yonah who told him all about this nevuah. And the Marzu in Bereishis Rabbah. Marzu is one of the classical Mefarshim in Bereishis Rabbah. I didn't take a picture of it. I don't think. Maybe I did. Took this picture last week, so I don't remember if I did or not. I don't think I did. The Marzu in Bereishis Rabbah. Oh, maybe this is it. No, not Shimon. The Marzu in Bereishis Rabbah did not copy me. States that Yonah was the main Navi throughout the years of Beis Yehu, all four generations, which is about 100 years, all happened through Yonah. So he was a very popular Navi during this time period. And in Malachim Beis Perek Yudalid, it mentions that one of the things that happened through Yonah directing Yehu and his children, who Heshiv es Gvul Yisrael, Milavu Chamos ad Yom HaRava, there were certain parts of Eretz Yisrael that had been captured by other nations, and through Yonah's guidance, these kings returned the borders of Israel. Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, as the God of Israel, Asher Dibur Bi'Aravdo, Yonah Ve'Amita Anavi. There it is, says it explicitly. So Yonah's prophecy continued to come true, and that's also part of the reason why he's called Yonah ben Amittai, because his prophecies about Yehu's families winning battles, destroying Achav, and expanding the borders of Klal Yisrael, or regaining the borders of Klal Yisrael, all happened. Nevertheless, Yehu wasn't perfect. Lo sar mikol chatos Yerovim ben Nevat. He did not turn away from the sins of Yerovim ben Nevat. Shehechtias Yisrael, Yerovim had set up two idols, Egel Hazovs, one in the south, one in the north, to prevent the Klal Yisrael from worshiping Hashem and going to the Beis Hamikdash for Shalosh Regalim. And Yehu kept those. He kept those. So even though they did a lot of good, but there also was still much unheeded Musar, and eventually the 10 tribes were exiled. Comes a Medrash and summarizes for us the exploits of Yonah. In his career. And this is not so well known. Medrash tells us Veloma Barach. Why did Yonah run away? As we know, that's the big issue here. Why did Yonah run away? Shapam Rishona Shochel LeHashiv Esari Yisrael. The first time he was sent on a mission was to return the cities of Israel, which we just read in the Navi. For Amdu Dvarav, it worked. Shnevar Hu Heshiv Esari Yisrael. He returned through Yehu and his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the cities of Israel. Pam Shenis. A second time, Yonah was sent on a mission that no one knows. Shochel al Yerushalayim LaHariva. He was sent to warn the people of Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim would be destroyed. Since the people of Yerushalayim did tshuva, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'rov rachmav v'nichem al hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his mercy had the Chomei changed his mind about the evil he was going to do. V'lo hichriv, he didn't destroy Yerushalayim. And what was the result of that? V'koru oso navi hasheker. The people in Yerushalayim, the Amoratim at least, called him a Navi Sheker. Now the Talmid Chachamim knew that it was because of Tshuva. If you look in the Gemara in Ayin Gimel of Beis and Yuma, right before our Mishnah, just above there, there's such a thing called Tshuva, and it's possible that if a Navi predicts something, if it's a bad thing, Tshuva can be done and the Nevuah will not happen. The Navi is not called a Navi Sheker. But the Amoratim called him a Navi Sheker. Talmid Chachamim got it. Says the Navi, says the Medrash, Pam Shlish Chalchel. The third mission of Yonah, we didn't know the whole backstory, was to tell Nineveh to be destroyed. Don Yonah Beino Levein Atzmo. That's where Yonah made a calculation to himself. Omar, Yodea Nisha Goyim Krove Tshuva. We're going to analyze this line in a little bit more depth. Soon, not yet. He says, I know the Goyim are Krove Tshuva. They're close to doing Tshuva. The Yasu Tshuva, they'll do Tshuva. Now, here there's a little bit of problem with the Girsa. We'll get into that a little bit later. It should be or it should be Sholeach. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholeach. Or Umishaleach. Rog Zov. Al Yisrael. That's the way it appears in the Pirkei Rav Elazar. The Akshmon is a summary, and as you can see, it's not such a good print that I have. It's a very old version. There are definitely needs for a little bit of editing here. Umishloach HaKadosh Baruch Hu rogues of Al Yisrael, his anger on the Jews. Lo daish the Yisrael korinosu Navi Hasheker. It's not enough that the Jews call me a Navi Sheker. But after Nineveh does tshuva, Ela Av Ov De Alilim Korosi Navi Sheker. Even the Goyim are going to call me tshuva. Evrach L'Mokum Shein Kvod Hashem. I'm going to run to a place where the Kvod Hashem is not. So there are two things mentioned here in terms of Yonah's running away, and we're going to analyze this much more, but just to get the basic idea up. He said, if he tells the Jews to do tshuva, after he tells the Goyim to do tshuva, and they do tshuva, the next time he said, the Jews aren't going to listen to me. And Hashem is going to be really, really angry at them. Or, again, Hashem will be really, really angry at them because not only did the Jews not do tshuva in some future tochacha, but the Goyim had done tshuva, so it's going to make the Jews look even worse. And therefore, Mishloach rogues al Yisrael. Rogzov, the anger of Hashem will be on the Jews. It's not enough that the Jews will call me a Navi Sheker, but after the Goyim do tshuva, they're also going to call me a Navi Sheker. Two separate things that he mentions. And this is really important because it's very hard for us to understand. Why is it that Yonah ran away? What was he thinking? That's the great puzzle of Sefer Yonah. Why didn't he listen to Hashem and warn Nineveh, at least in the beginning? Why didn't he do it? And part of the answer is given by this Chazal, that Yonah knew the next time Klal Yisrael wouldn't listen to him, so they'd be punished for not only doing evil, not only not heeding the Navi's warning to repent, but not doing tshuva after the Goyim did tshuva. Terrible. Now, many, many years ago, when I was first learning Sefer Yonah, it was like 9 years ago or so, the first time I really learned Sefer Yonah. Okay, let me just read this Rashi to you before we go into what I was about to tell you. Rashi summarizes this Chazal. This is on Pasuk Gimel, the first parak. I tell them to do tshuva, they'll do tshuva. I'm going to end up making the Jews look worse. I'm going to be mechayev them because they don't listen to the Nevi'im. That's how Rashi summarizes that medrash. That's what Yonah's intent was. So years ago, when I first was teaching this, I was in Camp Torah Golden, and I was wondering, look, even the Goyim read the book of Jonah, and they don't have Chazal to tell them the real reason why Yonah ran away. So I was wondering, what is Pshat from the perspective of the average guy? Why did Yonah run away? Again, we believe he was a big tzaddik. He had to be a big tzaddik in order to be a Navi. Could be the whole assumption is wrong. They didn't think Nevi'im were big tzaddikim, and therefore they could not listen to Hashem. But come on. Somebody who's already holy enough to listen to hear Hashem's voice, he's going to run away from God? Like, well, you know, you don't need Uncle Moshe to tell you that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Even the Goyim know that. I guess they have Uncle Moses, I guess. I don't know. They know it somehow. They have some feeling that. So I went to the East Stroudsburg Library, and I spent some time there, and I found two books. I'm telling you this just so you should realize how crazy this is. Crazy. I found a children's book. You know, like 16 pages with nice pictures. Jonah had a nice beard, you know. The story of Jonah and the whale. Why did he not listen? God told him, go to Nineveh and tell them. You can't just say he didn't go. Something had to be said, and something was said. And the children's book has said, I don't know them, so I don't like them, so I'm not going. Now, you see, a child can relate to that. And then I did look in, I can't say it was an academic book, but some of the guys have, it's not terrible smart. I found similar to the smart in some Achronim, actually, that the people of Nineveh was the capital of Ashur. Ashur eventually is from where Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That's where Sanherib came and exiled the 10 tribes. So in other words, Ashur was already a known enemy of the Jewish people. It wasn't just stomination. It's an enemy of the Jewish people. So Yonah said, look, they're my enemies. Let them get punished. It's not so good, you know, like Hashem told you to go. It's not for you to make cheshbonus like that. However, we can understand a little bit the cheshbin of Yonah according to Chazal. Yonah was very concerned. Telling the people in Nineveh that tshuva would be held against Klal Yisrael would make a tremendous chil Hashem if Klal Yisrael did not do tshuva after the people of Nineveh would even do a partial tshuva. Yonah did not want to be the instrument of Hashem destroying Klal Yisrael. In Malachim Beis Perek Dalet Pasuk Hey, let's see if I put it up. I think I did. In Malachim Beis Perek Dalet Pasuk Hey, Rashi said, again trying to explain Yonah. Maybe I didn't. Here it is. Malachim Beis, Perek Yudalit, Pasuk of Hey, on the Pasuk of Ru Heshiv is Gvul Yisroel Milov HaMosel, Yom HaRava, that same Pasuk, that his Nevuah to Yehu, and the attempt to win these battles, to take back the border cities, there Yonah is believed. It says, Rashi, a beautiful thing about Yonah. He was Yonah, the one who was Mashach Yehu, B'nei Revi'im Yeshulach. L'fi shetova kavod haben v'lotova kavod ha'av. Yonah, in his running away from Hashem, was because he claimed, he grabbed hold of the kavod of Klal Yisrael and did not grab hold and care about the kavod of Hashem. In other words, this Yonah, this tzaddik, this Navi, was completely into Klal Yisrael. He didn't listen to Hashem because he cared so much about Klal Yisrael. Apparently he wasn't on high enough madrega as a Navi to argue with Hashem, as Avraham Avinu had tried. He only had the ability to hear Hashem. He couldn't converse with him, at least at this point. So he just said, I care more about Klal Yisrael. If I don't listen to Hashem, the worst that comes from that is what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Hakovesh es nevuaso, one who holds in his nevuah from telling it to the people it applies to, misaso bidei shamayim. He's supposed to die a misa bidei shamayim, like, for example, being drowned in the water. Hakovesh nevuaso, shelo amro, not saying it, gon yonah ben amitai, not saying your nevuah, is something which would be a punishment for Yonah. Remember good old Yosef? Yosef had, he also had a nevuah. It came in the form of dreams. He told them to his brothers who were mekanehim. They hated him. They were jealous of him. Why did he tell it to them? Because Al-Pitz, he had to. You have to tell a nevuah. It might not be good politics, but the din is you have to. So Yonah said to himself, but I don't want Klal Yisrael to get into such trouble. I don't want that to happen. Don din beino levein atzmo, we read before. Omra ani yodesh zeh goy krovi tshuvahem. The goyim are close to tshuva. Achshav osim tshuva. They're going to do tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Shalech rogues al Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Shalech will get really angry at Klal Yisrael. I don't want to be part of anything to do with that. Despite the fact that it's halacha and I have to say over the nevuah, I will break the halacha for the sake of Klal Yisrael. You know, I can hear that from a Gadol Hador. Not, I don't know them, I don't like them. Not strategically let them, you know, rot, because let them be evil. Maybe Hashem will destroy them so they don't end up attacking Klal Yisrael. He's doing it for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And we know the Gemara does say in Nozir, Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis, I didn't photocopy it. The Gemara does say in Nozir, Chof Gimel Amid Beis, Gedola Avera Lishma, Mi Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. The Gemara says it in reference to, I can't remember the name now, one of the women who seduced one of the non-Jewish generals, and because it was able to get him to fall asleep and then chopped his head off. It may have been Sisera, but I don't remember. And Ashes Chavar Hakeni, I'm not remembering exactly. Gedola Avera Lishma Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. You know, Shalom Lishma is pretty good too. La'olam, a person does Shalom Lishma. We're never really doing things fully Lishma. However, an Avera Lishma only is stronger than a Mitzvah Shalom Lishma if it exists without any negia, any bias whatsoever. And even Yonah had a little drop of a bias, which caused him to make a slight mistake in his cheshbon to run away. Because, you know, we see it almost so obvious. He wanted to save Klal Yisrael, so he was willing to take one for the team. Like, he even knew he was wrong, perhaps, but he still wanted to do it that way so we could understand him. But Chazal do say there was a little bit of bias behind it. We read it just before in the Medrash. Medrash says that after he was alive, had said he was an Avi Sheker, the last thing he wanted was that the non-Jews should also call him an Avi Sheker. For Lodai she saw Koronosi Avi Sheker, and Af over there Leland Koronosi Avi Sheker. Even the Goyim will call me an Avi Sheker. So in the context where he writes that I know that the Jews won't do tshuva after the Goyim did tshuva, it's going to be really bad for the Jews, I don't want to have any part of it. Then he says almost like a second reason why he doesn't want to go. The second reason is his subconscious reason. He doesn't want to be called a Navi Sheker by the Goyim. No one wants to be called a liar. Of that negia, of that bias, can affect even a Yonah, even a Navi, to make the slightly wrong cheshbon, to think that perhaps the right thing to do is to leave and not fulfill the mission that was given to me by Hashem to save Klal Yisrael. This kind of explains Yonah's sin in perspective. And it explains why Yonah would think that he could do such a thing. Baal Ha'im also often point this out. A tiny negia in the heart can allow someone to believe such a cheshbon, even a great god like Yonah. Yes, Yaakov.
Well, Yonah had a bias against the guy because he thought they were going to think that he was a Navi Sheker.
But he had a bias himself to do what he did. He was biased to make a wrong calculation and to decide to run away as opposed to following what Hashem told him to do, because in his mind he wanted to save Klal Yisrael. But what was causing him, pushing him to think that that overrides listening to Hashem, was because even he himself did not want to be called a liar by all these people. That can hurt a person, even a Yonah. He's human. So that slight bias can cause you to take the cheshbon very seriously. I'm doing it for Klal Yisrael's sake. I'm willing to take the bullet, bite the bullet for them, which was wrong. But for the tzaddik that he was, at least it was wrong. And we can at least now understand how it came about. I wanted to analyze a drop more of that chazal about the goyim being krovei tshuva. That's the way the Yonah expresses it. That he says, I know the Omar Yodea Ani Shahagoyim Krove Tshuvahim. I know that Goyim are Krove Tshuva. They're going to do Tshuva. And when Klal Yisrael does not, as Rashi said explicitly on Pasuk Gimel, then Hashem is going to throw his anger on Klal Yisrael. I really don't want that to happen. What does it mean that Goyim are Krovei Tshuva? Says the Alshich HaKadosh. Because the Goy only has to do partial Tshuva. Partial Tshuva is enough for a Goy. What does that mean, partial Tshuva? What does it mean, partial Tshuva? In Perek Gimel of Sefer Yonah, Pasuk Yud, after Yonah goes to Nineveh, eventually, after his whole business with the whale, and he tells him to do tshuva. Vayahu l'kim etz ma'aseihem, Hashem saw their actions. They did tshuva. Kishavu midakam ha'ra'. Vayinochem elokim al ha'ra'a shadib elas lev lo asa. Hashem regretted the evil he had planned for them, and he didn't destroy the city. Vayahu l'kim es ma'aseihem. He saw their actions. Says the Mishnah in Tainus and Daf Tezvah, Ramad Aleph, you saw, you learned it. When there's a fast day, so we take the Aron Kodesh out into the street, all the Chachamim are there, and one Zaken gets up and starts giving Musar. Acheinu, brothers, lo nemar, be'anshei Nineveh, v'yar l'kim esakom v'estanisom. It doesn't say that Hashem saw by the anshei Nineveh their sackcloth and their fasting. Hello, but yar lukimis maseyem. Hashem saw their actions, kishofu midakam hara, that they repented from their evil ways. Oh, that's tshuva, the paradigm example of tshuva. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down. Some of you hopefully saw it already. It's the beginning of what we're learning in Mishnah Berurah, I think. Mishnah Berurah brings down this chazal, this pasuk. The Esna Tshuva is not the fast day. It's not just fasting when you go walking in the park, you go play basketball. No, it's about doing tshuva. Doing tshuva. That's what it's all about. However, the Yerushalmi says something different. Says the Yerushalmi, I just found it this morning. Says the Yerushalmi. This is Yerushalmi. Omar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Tshuva shel Remius Asu Anshei Nineveh. The people of Nineveh did a deceptive tshuva. It was a fake. They acted with tshuva. But it was a fake tshuva. So what is it? Is this the paradigm of tshuva, as the Mishnah says in Bavli? Sorry. Or is this a tshuva shel remia? A tshuva of deception? They did tshuva temporarily, but 40 years later, Nineveh was destroyed. Okay, it's a pretty long time. But they didn't really mean it. It's not a stira. It's not a stira. A Klal Yisrael's level, what the Goyim did was remia. On their level, it was something special. Because as the Alshich says, Goyim are not equal to Klal Yisrael. They don't need to do a full tshuva. Goyim just had to do tshuva in the Maisa. They didn't have to do tshuva in the lathe. So they eventually reverted to their old ways. Sackcloth and tinus is definitely not enough. You got to do actions. The Jews need to first have a lathe to do it. And the Mishnah and tinus is talking about where there already is a lathe to do tshuva. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, I forgot to copy it. Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, that the essence of tshuva is Meshana Shmo. You change your name and you become an Ish Acher, a different person who's not the same person as you were yesterday, says the Rambam. It's almost a quote. Not the same person as I was yesterday. I changed in my heart. And then all the actions will follow. I'll read to you the Rambam. It's not hard to remember this Rambam. Beis Dalet, bad. This is a bad Rambam. It's really bad. The Rambam says in Cheshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, he says, Meshana Shmo, change your name. Kolomer, ani acher, ani oso isha oso oso ma'isim. I'm not the same person that did those actions. And then Meshana ma'isov kulam l'tovu derech yishara. Then you change all your actions to the correct path. So a Jew has to first change his lathe, and then change his actions. That's the Gemara in Tainus. They already are going out into the street. They're already being told do tshuva. They're already in their lathe. Now do actions. That's what the Zogin Shabir says for them to do. But for a guy, it's not necessary. A partial tshuva says the Alshach is okay. All they have to do is change their actions. It's in a certain sense easier to change an action than to change an attitude. I often have to tell that to newly married couples. It's easier to change an action than an attitude. A good friend of mine was a chassan teacher, and he told me this story. That a young chassan married a week and a half comes back to the kolo and says, Rabbi Pellberg, I don't know what to do. I can't get along with my wife. What happened? She thinks I'm an animal. Why? What did you do? He said, you know, when I brush my teeth in the morning, then you have to wash your mouth out. So I put my hands under the faucet like this, you know, like the guys do in yeshiva. They put it under the faucet and they put it into their mouth. And she says, you're an animal. You have to use a cup. A cup of water, a cup, and swish it, put it. You can't do it with your hands. You're an animal. So Rabbi Pellberg, my friend, said to this young chassid, whose name I don't know, so what'd you do? He said, I thought I'd close the door to the bathroom. Did it help? Asked Rabbi Pellberg. He said, no. She said, I know what you're doing in there. You're an animal. See, he said, I don't understand. It's such a small thing. Why can't she just let me do what I want to do? And the truth is, she should. But Rabbi Pellberg said to him, because you can't change someone else. You can only change the person you're talking to. Rabbi Pellberg said to him, listen to what you're saying. It's such a small thing. Why don't you just do it her way? If you even want, you can ask her, maybe you can buy some cups to put in the bathroom. Maybe she did already, because she's using the cups. Do you mind if I use your cups? I mean, they're married now. They should be able to use the same cups. If that's what she wants, just do it. That's easy. It's hard to change an attitude. You're not going to make him think that using a cup is the right way to do it. There's nothing wrong with this way of doing it. He's not going to change his attitude. But you don't have to. You just have to change the action. However, when it comes to real tshuva, you have to change in the heart and you have to change in the action. And I'll give you a terrible example that actually happened to me. One of the years I was in Dora Golding, I had a chassid of a Talmud. I don't remember who and I don't remember where. But I do remember that I was at the chassid for a long time. So he must have been a close Talmud, but I just don't remember who it was. It must have been the whole shir was there from 5 years of shir, whatever. There are a lot of people there. I remember a lot of guys. So I can't remember who was the chassid. It's so funny. I remember the singer was Mordechai Shapiro. I remember it was a very fancy place. I don't know where it was. I can't remember which guy was the chassid. I just don't remember. I don't think I was at the chuppah. I think I was only able to make it later. Maybe that's why I don't remember. I don't know. So the drive back to Camp Torah Golding was very scary. It was like 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. And some of you maybe already started driving. If you look at the gas meter in your car, so it tells you when you have a lot of gas, when you have half a tank of gas, when you have a quarter tank of gas, you have an eighth of tank of gas. Then the light goes on and says you have to get gas. And then the light turns red, which means you better get gas. Then it goes below empty and you think to yourself, what am I driving on? What's happening here? Then it goes even further below empty. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm on a highway. There's no gas stations on this highway. So I have to get off the highway. And every time I get off the highway, which again uses more gas, slowing down, every gas station's closed. I was sweating bullets. I don't know what to do. There's no chaverim out there that I can call in Munster, you know, to come and bring me gas. I could probably call AAA who would bring gas. But I don't know how to describe them. Where I was, I had no idea. 1:30 in the morning, running out of gas. I'm literally screaming Shir HaMaalos. I'm just saying, tell him, I don't know what to do. I had to find the gas station. Now, what was going to happen? I get off at the next exit, which says there's a gas station. And across the street from a double yellow line is a gas station which looks open. The lights are all on. Oh my goodness, it's already 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no one on the road. I stop my car and I think to myself, it is illegal to go over a double yellow line, but I'm in an emergency here. I can run out of gas any second, be stuck in the middle of the road. I won't know how to get back home. Maybe I didn't even have a cell phone in those days. By the time I was in Dora Golding, I had cell phones. Maybe I was out of power. Maybe I didn't have the plug with me. I don't know. I was scared out of my mind. Definitely didn't have my tefillin with me. I thought I was coming home after the wedding. So to be extra safe, I turned on my emergency blinkers in case somebody may be coming from some direction, but there was no one around. I looked and looked, no one's coming, emergency blinkers. I honked my horn a few times, so in case somebody can't see me, they should be able to hear me. And then I made the left, went over the double yellow line, and went right into the gas station. And then almost from behind a bush, a police car's lights go on. And I drive up to the gas, and the gas attendant, I roll down the window or push the button. You don't roll windows down anymore. You push the button, the window goes down, and the gas station attendant says, "He got you." "What do you mean he got you?" He said, "You're the 10th guy tonight." He sits there all night, every night, this guy, just trying to catch people when it's technically safe. That's a moving violation. You get points on your license. You can imagine how upset I was about this. And then, how am I going to fight this in court? In a Pennsylvania court? I don't even know what state it is. I could have been in Ohio, for all I remember. I don't know. I think it was in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. You know what the courthouse looks like in Pennsylvania? It's smaller than my house. It may have been smaller than my apartment in Washington Heights. So I had to call them and call them and call them and call them. I was so upset. I was so angry. I tried all my rabbi cards. Nothing helped because it was a New York rabbi card. How do I know you're a rabbi licensed to practice in Pennsylvania? I wrote letters to them. I called them. I got the point off of my license because the truth is they don't care about that. They wanted the $250 fine for their little office. You know, somebody's got to pay for the clerk's lunch, whatever it is. I did eventually pay the money. So yeah, tshuva. I definitely regretted what I did. I definitely felt bad about that action. But in my heart, I had no regrets. Zero. I did the right thing. Even though I had to pay for it. At 2 o'clock in the morning when you're running out of gas, if you have to cross a double yellow line, that's what you have to do. Sometimes you never really change in your heart. On a positive sense, let me tell you, it's not even a story. As a camper in Camp Magen Avraham for many, many years, I learned how to daven. The davening was slow. There was no talking. Everyone stood when they were supposed to, and everyone sat when they were supposed to. Regular camps, kids. But the atmosphere was correct. Went to camp one summer. 9 years old. And when I came home, I just continued davening just like I did in camp. In camp, there were rewards. There was the Kol Rum Society. You answered a mini Shrabu Kol Rum. So the division head marked you down. And we had on Friday night a special Onik Shabbos after the meal. A 9 year old having an Onik Shabbos after the meal. It was only 9 o'clock. Ooh! What they serve is punch and a tangy taffy. It was like nothing. But the effect was on my lathe. I came home and I started davening. I started davening every word. I started going to Minyan every day. I started davening everything. At 9 years old, it affected my maisa and my lathe. That's a real tshuva. A Jew always has to do a real tshuva. A goy, they're krove tshuva, because it's easier to change an action than to change an attitude. So therefore, tshuva shel remius also anshi ninve, says the Yerushalmi. It definitely was a lie. It was deceitful. From a Jew's perspective, it was not enough. But it is the paradigm example of how to do tshuva if you first qualify by having changed your lathe. So for a Jew who changes the lathe and changes the actions, that's what the Mishnah in Tainis tells us, and the Yerushalmi tells us, on the level of a Jew, just changing the actions without the lathe is not a full tshuva. For a guy, that's good. But for a Jew, it's not enough. And now we're ready to start Sefer Yonah. That's the Hakdamah. Listen, Rabbi Rosenzweig, who might be the Rebbe of some of you sometime in the future, he does his Hakdamah for like 2 months, for whatever Masechta he's doing, which makes me happy. Because it gives me 2 months to do that daf. And by the time he's ready to start that daf, I'm still ahead of him. By Hanukkah, we're like neck and neck. And by the end of the first semester, he's already just getting past me. But then I do this trick very often for second semester. A trick I learned from Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln at one point was in, I forgot which war it was already. I forgot what rank he had. But he was in charge of like 10 soldiers. And he forgot how to give an order, how to jump over a fence, get to another side of the fence. So he adjourned, And he told them to all relax for 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, we'll come back on the other side of the fence. We'll re-adjourn on the other side of the fence. So often I say this before vacation. I often switch prokim after the first half of the year going into the second half of the year. But chas v'shalom, I should ever say the word skip. We don't skip. Just after intercession, we'll resume on the other side of, on Perek Dalet or Perek Tes or whatever it is. I did that this year also. It's in the same peg, but I went to a different daf. That way I could stay ahead of Rabbi Rosenzweig for a little bit longer. But we're in competition as who can go slower. But I win every year. I win every year. What can I just tell you? Look, he has 5 years here a week. I only have four. And he doesn't take as many questions as I do either, or even try. Okay. Let's take a look back in Pasuk Aleph. I think I have to go back to the other email. I believe so. Now we're ready to learn Pasuk Aleph. I'll read Aleph all the way at the end. Vayhi dvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai lemor. The Yerushalmi is also brought down to the Yalkut Shimoni, which we could go back to. The Yalkut Shimoni states, when did Yonah get this nevuah to go to Nineveh? When did he get this nevuah to go to Nineveh? Says Yalkut Shimoni, says the Medrash. Omar Rebbe Yonah, Yonah ben Amitai may all the regalim have. He was from those who were all the regal. The Nichnas, the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. He went to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Sharso Olav Ruach HaKodesh. And the Ruach HaKodesh came upon him. Lamechot teaches Shein HaShchina Shore El Alev Sameach. That the Shechina can only rest on somebody who has a happy heart. And the Rambam in Hilchis Yisori HaTorah Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, I'm sorry, Halacha Dalet tells us, Kol ha-Navim e'im yisnavim chol eish yitzu, they didn't have to vua whenever they wanted, and when l'chavim daitum v'yoshvim smechim, they had to concentrate, they had to sit happy, until they leave, and they spoke to them, they had to be alone, and thinking, she'en ha-vua shorah lo mitzuch atzus, mitzuch atzus, l'mizol simcha, you need to be mesameach, in order to have the vua pitom. The Navim often had in front of them, novel, the tof, the chalil, the kinor, all sorts of instruments, and they vach on nevuah, then they request a nevuah from Hashem, and sometimes they got it. But they had to be happy. They had to be happy. That's a prerequisite for nevuah. So the best place to be happy, of course, is the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. As I'll say, I think it's in Sukkah and Daphne Beis, but I didn't look it up. Misha lo roh Simchas Beis HaShoeva lo roh Simcha Miyama. Somebody did not say the Simcha of Beis HaShoeva, never saw Simcha. We know that Yaakov, I'll take the question in a second, we know that Yaakov was not able to get the nevuah that Yosef was still alive for 22 years because he was depressed, he was sad. It was only after Sarah Bas Asher played her harp, calmed him down, and then he was besimcha once again, and he was able to get a nevuah that confirmed the brother's report that Od Yosef Chai questioned Shneir.
We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was had this ability that he didn't necessarily need to be in that state of simcha to get nevuah, and we also know that no Nevi'im were like him, but were there any Nevi'im who, in a similar way, didn't need to be exactly in that state to receive nevuah? But it wasn't Panim al Panim, it was still like on a lower level.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to go through all the Nevi'im. But that's the general rule, like the Rambam said, and he definitely knew all the Nevi'im. So at this point, I would take his word for it. I mean, we had that shmooze that you're not supposed to have such Chemunas Chachamim, you're supposed to look into it. But at this point, I don't know. I'd have to really go searching every Nevuah throughout Tanakh. You know, when Sarah had the Nevuah that Avraham Avinu had to listen to send Yishmael away, you would think she wasn't so happy. Right? She was upset. But I don't know. Maybe she had some of her cookies and that made her happy. The leftovers from the Malachim. I don't know. Okay, good. I don't know. Okay. Post base. I have to remember what email.
Rabbi, what was that Rambam that we just read?
The Rambam was in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet. We saw Zayin Aleph before, the prerequisites being a Navi, and now prerequisite for Nevuah is in Halacha Dalet.
Hey, thank you, Amy.
Okay. Good. So Sefer Yonah says, Pasuk Beis, Kum Leichel Ninveh Oyer HaGadolah, go to Ninveh, the big city, you crawl Leo, and tell them, apparently the Tshuva, he also rose from the Funai because their evil has arisen in front of me. Nineveh was the capital of Asher. And Titus told the Unclus, Hager, and the Gemara in Gittin, and Daphne and Vav and Beis, but Titus wanted to convert. He asked that Eitzah, I'm sorry, when Unclus wanted to convert, he asked an Eitzah from Titus. Titus was long dead. But he had his ways of doing this. Four lines of the bottom involved in days of getting. Unclus bar Clonicus, bar Achse de Titus, the nephew of Titus, so he boyly Giri wanted to convert. Osgal Aske with Titus Benegida, he raised up the spirit of Titus through witchcraft, sorcery. Who's Choshev in the next world, in Shemayim? In Olam Haba. Omalei Yisrael, the Jews are. Ask Tumplis, Ma'al Vidivukivu, should I cling to them? Should I convert to Judaism? Omalei, now this is Titus speaking from the Olam Ha'emes. Omalei, Milayel and Ephesian, they have a lot of words. Meaning there's a lot of mitzvahs. V'lo Motzisu L'kiyumene, you're not going to be able to keep them. I'll give you a better Eitzim. Zil, go. Igri Bahubau Alma, bother them in this world. Start a fight with them. And then you'll at least be a top guy. You'll make it into all the newspapers. Anybody who bothers the Jews, they'll become a Choshev nation. If you bother the Jews, you're going to be on the front page of the newspaper again and again. Even if you're a small nothing, how much is there in this Palestinian thing? There's nothing there. But you want to make it into the news every day? Attack Klal Yisrael. That was Titus' Eitzah to his nephew. He says, forget about doing mitzvahs, too hard. Instead, start up with them. And it's true. Only the greatest nations are able to attack the Jews. Otherwise, it'll make Hashem look bad. It makes Hashem look weak. It's almost a chil Hashem. Yeah, that nation can start up with the Jews. When the strongest nations start up with the Jews. So, then they say, oh, the Jews must be a strong people if they're taken so seriously by Iran, by China, by Russia. So Nineveh needed to reach a level by which they could attack the Jews. So they needed about 50 or 60 years to reach that level. So Sanherib would be choshev enough, worthy of his future mission, to exile the 10 tribes of Israel. So to achieve that level, they needed to do tshuva. And this is a pshat that's told to us by the Metzudas David. is in the other packet.
Wait, Titos told him to not try to do good?
Correct. Told him, don't convert, fight the Jews, then you'll be a big shot. That's what he told him. Again, it's from the Olam HaEmes, he said that. Rishoyim, remain Rishoyim. Here it is. Rishoyim, remain Rishoyim. So we have Mrs. David here. That's all we did. On Pasuk Beis in parentheses. Mrs. David says this chat. Something about Lamutov, returning them to good. Hashem wanted them to do tshuvas, return to good. L'man yamdu lios ritzua mazir shal Yisrael. Because then there could be the strap, the whipping strap, on Klal Yisrael. So one pshat the Siddur David suggests is that the reason why Hashem wanted them to do tshuva is they would be a chosh of a nation, and therefore worthy of being the ones to attack Klal Yisrael in about 50 years. Fascinating. The Ezra Hashem next time we'll continue with, which is the pasuk the Yonah actually running away. We'll see some of the fashion concerning that. The Ezra Hashem tonight at 9:45 we'll have the Moshe Shir. Once again from 9 to 9:45 if you're able to, please learn Bekiyas or whatever other things you've decided to learn, and Chazara. I would like to send out with an email, hopefully in the next couple of minutes, the competition questions. Can I just get an idea how many people are taking the competition questions? Just a few? You don't have to. You don't have to. Okay? So I'm going to send it out as an email to everyone. And yes, if it's going to ruin your summer, don't do it. People can, you know, enjoy the shiur. And if the competition is going to cause you not to enjoy it, then don't do it. If, on the other hand, it causes you to enjoy it even more, especially think of the wonderful prizes, food and swarm, what could be better? So, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to send it out in a few minutes. I just have to technically make sure I do that right. And you can send to my email address, which is bpmendelson@yohsb.org.